Our next guest is a state representative who I had the great pleasure of serving with for my 2 years. And from what I understand, she's completing her final term in our state legislature. But a huge, huge question remains. And that is the federal money that the state of Connecticut received for the COVID, for the COVID-19, seems to have gone missing. And we're going to try to get to the bottom of that as we welcome to the program, or back to the program, State Representative Gail Laviel. Gail, good morning.
Gary, good morning.
How you doing, girl?
Fine. How are you?
I miss you so much. I really do.
I miss you so much.
You are just, every time we work together, just a breath of fresh air, and you're smart as a whip, and I just can't speak any more highly about you. You really were one of my favorite representatives to work with up there.
Well, you've always been my favorite, bar none.
Oh,
period.
Thank you. Thank you. That means everything. And I know you are, I got to tell you this, you are the hardest working up there. There's no, you do so much homework every night. You and I, remember, before I get into the question of the day, or maybe even of the month, is back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So we were late in a session one. I think we got out at 2 o'clock in the morning. We had been there since 8 or 9 in the morning. I think they gaveled in at 10, but you know, we caucused before they gaveled in, and we probably all got there between 8 and 8:30. We were there till 2 o'clock in the morning. They gavel out, and then as everybody's starting to leave to go home, just to only come back again and a few hours later, you and I went into the caucus room, had a cup of coffee at 2 o'clock in the morning, and started working on amendments to kill an eminent domain bill.
Yep.
Because it was government overreach, and it was such an egregious, a terrible, terrible bill. We came up with about 20 amendments.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to come back the next morning, not only on time, we had to come in early. I don't think we left the place until 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, I'm sure we didn't. We used to do that all the time.
Only to come back at like 8:30.
Yep.
And starting, we recruited other members of our caucus. We had to get 20 people to each take an amendment and talk about it for 20 minutes, for a half an hour, so that we would filibuster this eminent domain bill. And because of all the amendments on there, the Speaker of the House, who was at the time Brendan Sharkey, never ended up calling it because he knew we were going to filibuster it.
Boy, would we have.
Oh.
Terrible, terrible thing, terrible bill. And it was so important for your district and for mine that thing not get through, and really for the whole state, but, you know.
But you live down in the Wilton area, right?
In the Enchanted Forest.
So you had a lot further of a drive, but I think did you stay up here that?
I probably did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's a while now. It's 5 years.
And you're not running again, right?
No, Gary, I'm not. I need my life back.
Yeah, well, you're right, because it's not just something you do on the site. Really, if you do this the right way, which you did, you did not just fulfill the minimum requirements. I mean, it consumes you. It owns you. The legislature owns you, and that's how you know you got a great legislator is when they work tirelessly on behalf of their constituents, like you always did.
Well, it's sort of like a survival thing. I mean, you know as well as I do that there's some people who have sort of automatic elections,
mm-hmm.
like where they're from.
Yep.
But if you have a seat that is kind of purple.
Oh, yeah.
You have to, it's not so much when you're in session, it's when you're out of session. You have to be everywhere all the time, so you have no life.
I know what that's like.
Oh, boy. And I just, I think 10 years is good. It's enough. It's time to get a few things done and really to have the experience. And to use when you've accumulated some experience, to use it. And then I think, you need, in order to keep your normalcy as a person, you need to go get your life back.
Yeah.
And so I feel an acute need to do that.
It's difficult to even have a fair and equal balance. What will you do? Will you stay in Connecticut? Will you, what will you do with your time?
Well, we're not thinking of going anywhere.
Okay.
But I have so many things I couldn't do while I was doing this.
Right.
I mean, there's a whole classical chamber music thing I need to do,
oh.
which is that's my that's, you know, very personal. We need to spend more time in France. I need to get some of my international activity back because my whole life was international before I did this. And, you know, there's various organizations and activities I want to do with that. And I also want to go back to writing arts and culture reviews, which I used to do a long time ago.
That sounds exciting.
And I really want to get back to that and, you know, do it properly without the other professional distractions I used to have when I was doing it. I was working on Wall Street. And so I have a lot I want, and I want to pay attention to our friends, which I didn't do for 10 years.
Oh, well, let me tell you, what a loss it's going to be for the legislature, and I will miss you, but we will stay in touch. Matter of fact, one of the ways I stay in touch and keep up to date on what you're doing is on Facebook, although I don't spend anywhere near the amount of time that I used to spend on it. I was on it one morning. And I think you had written a post the night before. It had to do with what happened to Connecticut's federal money for COVID-19. Now, every state received federal grant.
Yeah, we got about $1.4
billion. $1.4
billion. Mm-hmm.
And nobody, there's no legislator knows for sure, from what I understand, where that money is.
That's the thing. What prompted me to put that up there was that you know, I'm ranking member on the Appropriations Committee, which is the committee.
Well, then if you don't know where it is, oh my goodness.
And there was a decision by the chairs, with which I agree completely, that the governor has basically kept all the legislators out of everything.
Right, yeah.
We do not know anything at this point about where we really are, apart from what we get from the controller. And of course, the controller has most recently said that at the end of this fiscal year, which ends in about 2 weeks, the state will have a deficit of $600 and something million. You know, we were supposed to break even or have a surplus or something. It's going to be about $600 million. And there's all this federal money that came in, and we don't, I mean, I'm not suggesting that it's been trashed or something, or that, you know, but we don't actually know how the whole thing has been allocated. There's a big report by the Office of Legislative Research, but that just talks about programs. There's things that don't go to particular programs, you know, that were allocated to certain agencies. We don't know what those are and what those agencies are. We don't know how the agencies are using the money they have. We also don't know about their fourth quarter allocations that were in the budget. We just don't know where any of it is. We're completely groping around in the dark. And how can we possibly make an assessment about what we should be doing or not doing in terms of simple budget or deficiency legislation? And so we're holding hearings with each major state agency to find out what's going on. And we saw the Department of Economic and Community Development on Monday. We're seeing the Department of Education today, which should be much more compelling. The DECD that we saw them on Monday, that's not as interesting because most of that money actually did just pass straight through to companies that were taking grants and loans and things like that. But the Department of Ed, what, we don't know what they're doing with it, so we're going to find out. And I did ask the question on Monday to the Department of Economic and Community Development, exactly how much money from the federal government was allocated to your agency, and how much of it did you spend, and how much do you have left? Well, I don't have the answer yet. They gave us a nice account of what they spent on every program, but I didn't get an answer to that, and I'm going to ask it today.
Because they don't know?
I don't know. I don't know is it why.
Oh, my goodness.
But this idea of just kind of operating in the dark that you've seen, we have a governor who just, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's malicious, but I think it's weird that he loves to make decisions in a vacuum. And you know, with education, for example, which is something I know well.
You were the ranking member on education.
Terms. He put together a task force to talk about, you know, reopening the schools. And there were all these people from higher education, and there were only a couple of people from K to 12 education, and one of them was a union boss. There were no active principals or superintendents or teachers or anything. There was just a union boss and somebody from the independent schools, which is fine. But so they were making the decisions about the schools, and they weren't getting any input from anywhere else. And I wrote that group a letter and copied it to the governor and said, why don't you include some people who are actually on the ground doing this stuff? And they didn't answer me. They haven't done anything. So I'm very curious today to see what they say. And I don't think it's the commissioner's fault. I mean, I think there is an ethic in this administration that you don't work in the open. Look at the Dalio partnership.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at the tolls decision. Look at the hair dryers in the beauty salons. You know, today you can't have blow dryers. No, tomorrow it's okay. You can have blow dryers.
Yeah, now you can open up this day. Oh, no, you can't open up that. Two more weeks. You got to wait 2 more weeks. You know?
I know. It's crazy.
I think a lot of people, all right, let's kind of go back to square one. I think a lot of people would be fascinated to understand that. How do you transfer $1.1 billion that Connecticut is getting? Now, is that a check? What would that check look like? Or is that like an automatic deposit? And then is it to the state? Is it made payable to the state of Connecticut? Does it go to the comptroller? Does it go to the treasurer? Does it go to the governor's office? Who's the check made out to? And then, or is it a block grant where the state can then divvy it up as it sees fit? Or is there specific amounts that are allocated to each department coming from the feds, mind you, that they take upon themselves to divide? Or how is it even the amount of 1.1? Would you say 1.1? How is that even reached?
God only knows what the inner workings of Washington are, but the one thing I know they can't say this goes to X department. But they can say this is earmarked for X program.
Okay.
So, something that would go to businesses, they would say this goes to businesses, but it's up to Connecticut to say that will be channeled through the DECD. Right.
Okay.
So, other than that, I don't know if it's a check. I don't know if it's an automatic deposit. I don't know what it is, and I don't know to whose order it is. But I do know that in Connecticut, a lot of that, it's executive branch allocations, so it's being done through the governor's budget office, OPM. And they just want to control everything. It's just amazing.
And they're not trusted, either. They're not even trusted, not only by the constituency, but they're even by the legislative branch, they're not trusted.
Well, that's correct. And, for example, at the beginning of this session, we suddenly got word that a fellow who had been working in the Department of Administrative Services as the head of the school construction grants program,
Yep.
That he had been moved over to OPM, the governor's budget office, and that the entire school construction team was going to be moved into OPM with him. Hmm. And you can't do that without legislative approval. And he did it. He just did it. And Democrats, Republicans, everybody was up in arms. And there was even a bill in the Education Committee to stop it. Of course, that died with the session. But everybody's still mad about it. You can't do it.
But if he can't do it,
he did it.
Well, then apparently he can, because if it went through, then he did do it. He was able to do it.
Yeah, he doesn't care that he's not able to do it. He just did it. And we don't really understand why it was necessary. And of course, the problem with it is that when you, the big decisions about the huge amounts of money are made in public in a bill on school construction. But a lot of the back channel stuff is done in the back room. And so if there's somebody who needs a favor, OPM can do it in school construction without letting anyone know.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is really not good. And I don't know whether that's the way he wants it or whether he just doesn't understand. I don't know which it is.
Well, it should have failed. It should not have gone through.
Of course not. I mean, it should have just been like there should have been guards at the door, you know.
You can't make heads or tails of. All right, so let's go back to this money.
Yeah.
That's earmarked for different programs rather than different departments.
Mm-hmm.
So They receive the money. They're not acknowledging that, or they're acknowledging that they received it, but they just can't account for where it was allocated.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they can if we get to the bottom.
But they're not divulging it. You had a public hearing, right? Or you had a...
We only had one agency. We're doing them in sequence. So today is Department of Ed. I think next week it's probably Department of Labor. That's the one we all really want to know about because, you know, people who asked for unemployment checks back in March are still hanging there waiting.
Okay. Now, it's interesting that you say that. There are some people who applied for unemployment, and I'll even use the month that you used, March. That was that's a few months ago now.
Yeah.
Who have not received one unemployment check since March. What do you say to those people? What would be the best advice that you can give to that person?
Well, the best thing to do is to call their legislator.
Yeah, their state representative.
Their state rep or their state senator. And the legislative aides all know how to get through to the Department of Labor and find out what the trouble is. A lot of folks found out, for example, that suddenly they're expected to go through the formality of applying every week, even though they're registered and they're on the books and all that. They have to make note of their existence every week to keep receiving what they're supposed to get. A lot of people got one check and then never got anything again.
Because they acknowledge that they received it, but then,
they were counting on it. And so the procedure's all changed. And there just haven't been enough people at the OL to handle it, and they're confused, and there's no human to talk to. But generally, our legislative aides have managed to be able to help most people.
The Commissioner of Labor has been more or less MIA, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, he doesn't show. He sends his deputy. What's that? Is that Dante?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we served with her when she was in the Senate, Bart DeLomeo.
We did. Yeah.
All right, so we only got about a minute left. Do we anticipate finding this money for in each department, or this is just going to take a time through the hearings that you're having?
Well, we're going to see. I wasn't too worried about DECD, like I said, but this one today is going to be telling with the Department of Ed because that's pretty concrete. That's money it would use and it would funnel to schools, which are all organizations we can see inside, as opposed to businesses, which, you know, it's totally different, private sector. And this and the Department of Labor, the Department of Public Health, those are all going to be very, very interesting.
All right. So the Connecticut received it. It's not as though we don't. It's not like it wasn't received. We just don't know how it was, what they're doing with the money, each department, once they receive their grant.
Right. And again, I don't want to suggest that it's insidious in any way, but it's kind of like all dispersed and disorderly.
Right.
It's hard to tell anything. And how do you end the fiscal year, and how do you make decisions if you don't know where everything is?
That's a very good point. Gail, we got to let you go. We got a break to take, but always great hearing your voice, and we got to get you on one more time before the year is up.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
well,
good.
I don't go anywhere until January.
Awesome. Great to hear your voice. You have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.